Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Hi there, it's Julia Louis-Dreyfus. You may know me from my podcast called Wiser Than Me, where I talk to older women and get their wisdom from the front lines of life. I was amazed by how many people told me our show made them look forward to getting older, which is why I'm here to talk about season 2 of the show. Sally Field, Billie Jean King, Beverly Johnson, Ina Garten, Bonnie Raitt, just to name a few. All hail old women. Wiser Than Me season 2 is out now from Lemonada Media.
Man, that sunset is gorgeous.
Grill, patio, sunset. Hard to get better than that. Unless you're browsing Carvana's inventory while you soak it all in.
Oh, burger time.
So sit back, get comfortable. Carvana's got thousands of cars under $20,000 just waiting for you.
I could stay here forever.
Carvana, where car buying meets comfort, meets convenience. Download the app or visit Carvana.com today.
Doug hates candy wrappers, screaming baby sticky seeds with 50 acid popcorn kernels in his teeth. There's still not one that he won't see, 'cause Doug loves movies.
Hey, 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 everybody. My name is Doug, and I love scary movies. This is Doug Loves Movies, Scary Movies Edition, coming to you once again from Call It Whatever You Will, with another Homes Alone edition. It's Sunday, October 11th, 2020. And my guests today are Ricky Lindholm, Haley Joel Osment, and Mark Weber. Hello, everybody.
Hi.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi, everybody.
Hi. Let's meet you all individually, shall we? Starting with the star of The Wolf of Snow Hollow, Ricky Lindholm. Hi,
Hi,
Ricky.
Why is that funny?
The face you made was funny. See, that's why I don't want to see.
I didn't mean to. Hi, Doug. How are you?
You made a face like I'm the star of that movie. I think you are.
Oh, well, thank you.
Yeah. It's really a kind of a small cast, and you're definitely, you know, top three, I'd say.
Yes.
In terms of like story and stuff, I got to see the movie. They sent it to me. Oh, I should turn on my camera a second, show you the glass I'm drinking out of. But anyway,
they haven't sent it to me. I haven't seen it yet.
You haven't seen it?
No. I mean, I've seen like little pieces. I haven't seen the whole thing yet though.
I mean, I could shoot you the link.
Yes, please. Will you? No, I was going to watch it tonight. It's on iTunes. I was going to watch it tonight, but I haven't.
Oh, you're going to buy it from iTunes?
Yeah. Or I'd rather have the free link.
Well, I wish you had this to drink out of while you watch it. It's a Wolf of Snow Hollow glass. Can you see that on there?
Yeah.
I'm drinking a little Lambrusco. So anyway, the movie is, like you say, it's available on iTunes. And I think it'd be super fun to see it at a drive-in right now.
I do, too. I want to try to do that at some point.
And if they played it at a drive-in, if I worked there, I would, like, get some wolf hands and, you know, slap them on somebody's windshield during a crucial moment. Maybe give them a heart attack. But what do you say about the movie when people ask you, you know, what it's about? Because obviously it's an easy to spoil story. You don't want to give away too much.
It's about a serial killer in a small town, and we don't know if it's a werewolf or not.
No, it's very funny, the discussions about whether or not it's a werewolf, because everybody's got their opinions. It totally reminds me of now and COVID, how people have opinions about the science. And in right. And in Wolf of Snow Hollow, people are just, it's a werewolf or it's not a werewolf. They just make up their minds and then just stick with it. And it's pretty entertaining. Jim Cummings wrote and directed it. People might know him from his first feature that he did, Thunder Road.
I love that movie too.
And yeah, and then he did this movie with you and the late great Robert Forster.
I know, it was his last role.
Which is, and he plays a you know, kind of at-risk senior, so yes, it's really it's so great good. To see him one more time, but it's also bittersweet. Mm-hmm. Must have been amazing working with him.
I loved it. He was so nice. He gave everybody letter openers that are like personalized. So if you work with him, you get a Robert Forster letter opener, and I cherish mine.
That's so cool. I hope it never gets used by someone as a murder weapon.
Me too.
That wouldn't honor his legacy very well.
No, I live alone, so that would be bad.
Well, thank you for being here. And where did you film the movie? Because it's a beautiful City, small Utah. Town. Where?
Right outside of Park City, Utah.
Oh, okay. So that Park City is pretty fancy. So this is like kind of like the suburbs of Park City.
It was like Camas, Utah, like things like just like small towns outside of it. Yeah.
Yeah. It's really, and it must have been, was it just cold the whole time?
It was so cold the whole time.
I always like prosthetic makeup and cold weather bother me in movies because I just feel bad for the actors.
If you notice, my character was wearing earmuffs. Like the first day I got there, I was like, oh, it's like a character choice. I think she would wear earmuffs. I just basically didn't want to be cold.
Oh, but it is a character choice because she's not a cop that cares about people thinking she's tough.
Right. and Ricky did not want to be cold.
Yeah, I love it. Well, thank you for being here.
Thanks.
Also joining us today, return to the show. He's been on before. It's Haley Joel Osment. Hey, dude.
Hey, man. How you doing?
I'm doing great. Excited that you're here because you also have a movie. All my guests today have movies that people can go see. You're starring in The Devil Has a Name in theaters on demand and digital this Friday, October 16th.
That's correct. Yeah, it's Alfred Molina, David Strathairn, Martin Sheen, Kate Bosworth, directed by Edward James Olmos. So just a really, really awesome cast.
And he acts in it too.
Yeah, he does. Yeah, and that was quite something to see. I got to have a couple scenes with him where he was running the show and playing this really outrageous character. So that was super fun.
The two of you hit it off because you both have three names?
Absolutely. Yeah. Well, we had met before in the meetings that we have to try and weed out who among us are assassins. But he's the coolest guy. Everybody loves hanging out with him. He's definitely someone who spends lunch talking with everybody and sharing stories and everything. So a real piece of cinema history that you get to be with.
That's super cool. And it's based on a true story, this movie?
Yeah, a really crazy and you know, it was relevant when we made it, and it's even more so now, 3 years into the Trump administration, about oil companies who were basically, when you pull oil out of the ground, you create more of a volume of radioactive water, and it has to go somewhere to be sit in the ground to be radioactive. So they started surreptitiously pumping it underneath agricultural land, which they are still doing to this day, making the produce and the ground radioactive.
Oh.
Yeah, it's not good.
So we're not looking at a happy ending in this movie, I'm guessing.
No, but there are some funny moments. I have a car chase in a yellow Hummer with David Strathairn. So there's moments of lightness along with the apocalyptic ecological disasters.
I feel like that's David Strathairn's first car chase ever.
It might be. I guess he didn't have one in The Sopranos. He could have.
Yeah, I guess he could have there, but definitely not in Good Night and Good Luck.
No.
Well, thank you for being here, dude. And I'm excited to see this movie. An incredible cast.
Oh, yeah. That was one of those where I, you know, got the email and saw those names already attached and was like, I barely need to look at the script to know to say yes. But I looked at the script anyway.
Yeah, you might as well double check and make sure it's not like about how you get drunk on the radioactive soil water.
Exactly. Yeah.
Turn into a soil water monster.
Lots of prosthesis. Yeah. Good 5 hours every morning. Yeah.
Also joining us today is the oh-so-patient. You know him as I first became very aware of him when he was Stephen Stills in Scott Pilgrim versus the World. Mark Webber is here.
Hey.
Hi.
Hi.
How's it going, man?
Good. I just took it's called a germ warfare shot from Erewhon with garlic, echinacea, oregano oil, grapefruit seed extract, and lemon juice, and my stomach is feeling a little weird. But other than that, I'm great.
All right. Well, keep us posted about that. And, you know, if you have to run off, we'll just we'll hold down the fort.
I'll let you know.
That's why his screen is off.
Yeah. You guys don't want to see what's going on over here.
We don't need to see all the faces you're making right now.
Nope.
Oh, man. Writer, director of The Place with No Words in select theaters and on demand in a couple of weeks, October 23rd.
Yep, that's right. It's The Place of No Words.
The Place
of No Words.
The Place completely lacking the words.
Yes, that's right.
The Place of No Words. And it's based on a written work.
Yeah, I wrote it, and it's it stars my actual son Bodie. We shot it when he was three, and my wife Teresa. And it's our attempt at making a film about death and grieving and love and loss.
These movies that we're talking about today, they just, each one is more fun than the last. And so it's not based on, it's your original story that you wrote.
Yeah. I wrote it myself, and it goes in and out of like a reality and fantasy realm. And it was pretty cool because I got to work with the Henson Company, who did my creatures in the film, the Grumblers. Because me and Bodie kind of go in and out of a fantasy realm based off of stories that he has told me in real life.
That's super cool. You do all four of your offspring appear in the film, or is it just the one?
No, just the one. My littlest boy, Forrest, makes a little cameo appearance in the forest. Forrest makes a cameo in the forest as a little baby fairy, but it's just mainly my 3-year-old Bodie.
All right, as long as nobody else is jealous or anything about it, I guess it's cool.
I mean, my little girl might get bothered by it later on down the line, so I'm thinking about maybe I got to do something with her, but we'll see.
Yeah, you better get a project for her going.
Seriously,
just preemptively, so that she doesn't get mad as she gets older.
Yeah.
Well, thank you for being here. And you're going to have a premiere, which is kind of rare for movies these days, but it's going to be drive-in style.
Yeah, I'm pretty stoked about that. Actually, we're doing a pop-up drive-in in the Palladium parking lot here in Hollywood. On Tuesday. So I'm very grateful that we're able to pull that off and give people an opportunity to get out and go do something and still feel safe. So pretty stoked.
Yeah, I really like the drive-in setup. I've gone a couple of times during this, and it's so perfect because you just have your windows rolled up and you listen to it over the radio. And I'm not going to say I like it better than a movie theater. I prefer to see a movie in a theater, but boy, if you see a movie at a drive-in, then you're losing interest in it. You can just sit there on your phone. Nobody's going to mind.
Yeah, totally. I know. And I don't have to worry about really how people are reacting. I'm in my own little bubble. Yeah,
you're just standing in the back of the parking lot. Nobody's laughing.
I know. Although I thought about cars start pulling out. I mean, it's pretty obvious.
Yeah, that's not good if somebody just flips the engine on and rolls out during the movie. But
I know, headlights just shine across the screen. I'm like, oh God, please.
But sometimes somebody might, need to leave because of an emergency, like they drank something weird before going to the premiere.
Okay, that's what I'm going to stick with. I'm going to think that then.
Your Warfare shot.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I didn't have the exact reference ready to go.
Is that what it was called? Germ warfare? What was it?
It is, yeah. Germ warfare, and it's doing its job right now. It's killing all things in my body.
That counter is so heavy duty. Back in the before times when getting sick was just a minor crisis, when I'd feel something coming on, I'd go there and be like, give me everything you got. And he's like, all right, take a shot of colloidal silver to start off and let me mix some things up for you.
I don't know from that stuff. I just, push through. Ride it out. That's my medicine. My medicine is to just ride it out. Try not to talk to anybody. Try not to look it up on the internet. Just try not to worry about it. I do a box office report every week now because, you know, they're putting that information out there, and it's not as interesting during a pandemic because everything's making so little money, and then there's just weird little blips. Like, for instance, the number three movie in the country right now is the re-release of Hocus Pocus.
Wow.
Yeah, that's how bad things are. Unhinged, starring Russell Crowe, has been in the top five for a couple of months now. It's like, it's not breaking any records other than, you know, its longevity. And then, of course, Tenet has been the number one movie for weeks. But guess what? There's a new number one movie at the box office, and it's called The War with Grandpa. It's about, from what I can gather from the commercials, it's like kind of like Grumpy Old Men with De Niro and Christopher Walken.
Wow.
I've never heard of that.
Yeah, it's just, raging in drive-ins and theaters now with a 3.6 million take at the box office this weekend.
Wow.
Is the number one movie. So get out there, you guys, and see some movies. Help this out if you can. I haven't gone to a indoor theater because here in LA it's just not happening. Would any of you actually consider sitting inside a movie theater, like, I guess if people wore masks and stuff?
No,
I don't think so. Yeah,
I mean, Ricky just won't even leave her own closet.
I did go to the drive-in though. I went to Mission Tiki. That was fun.
Oh, where's that?
It's not that far from here. I was a passenger, so I wasn't paying attention, but I'd say it's a 45-minute drive from LA.
I want to say that it's in Claremont or Montclair.
I would back that. Yeah, probably.
Yeah, because those two are next to each other, which cracks me up. And there's like a West Covina out that way, but there's no East Covina. So why? I don't understand the distinction. So I guess there's no East Hollywood either. This is all very confusing, but yeah, Mission Tiki. I haven't been to that one, but it is a reasonable distance. There's one even closer if you live in the center of LA or Hollywood, called Vineland Drive-In Theater, and that's like it's just outside of downtown by a few minutes, so it's pretty convenient.
Nice.
And, you know, and they show, like, they don't do double bills because, you know, they want to try to obviously make as much money as they can because it's pretty popular. So they just, you know, tend to show about 8 different movies at a typical drive-in because they'll show a different movie on the same screen. You know, they'll show like a double feature, but they make people leave and come back in.
That place is great. It's family owned, has been since like the 50s.
That's awesome.
And their first, I think the first movie that they showed there was 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea.
Wow. Is that James Mason?
James Mason and Kirk Douglas.
There was a drive-in movie theater in my hometown, but we would just, like, you pay to go in and then you keep driving past the screen and like out into a cornfield and all the kids would just drink like behind the screen.
Yeah. Yeah, and they only showed Field of Dreams and Children of the Corn.
Right.
That'd be awesome.
Amazing double bill.
That would be a great double bill.
That would be. That'd be incredible.
So I'd like to ask each of you, before we get to the game portion of the show, do you have anything to recommend that you've been watching? It can be, you know, bingeable TV or whatever, but, you know, movies are preferable here on Doug Loves Movies. Is there anything any of you have, we'll start with Ricky, is there anything you've seen lately that you'd recommend? Do you recommend anything?
I'm in that mental state right now where I'm just like rewatching. You know what I mean? Sure. I'm sort of in that malaise. So I watched The Pelican Brief on a plane yesterday. I'm not in a recommendation place, I gotta say. I yield my time.
What's that? He forgot to say fuck you. I yield my time. Well, wait. So I just want to dig into Pelican Brief because, isn't that movie like tense? Isn't it mostly a lot of tension? Like the
Seen it though, so I know what's going to happen.
You know that, yeah. You know who survives.
Yeah, I know who. Yeah.
You know what the Pelican Brief is? Because I don't think I know that, and I saw that movie.
Oh, it's the paper that she wrote in grad school.
About pelicans?
No, about who killed the Supreme Court justices and why.
So where does the word pelican come from?
I don't remember.
I always thought it was called the Pelican Brief because who wants a lengthy stay with a pelican?
I don't remember. I don't think it was that clear.
Maybe it's short for Pelicano. Was it a mob thing? All right. I'm just, the show now is just me getting high and saying stupid shit to my guests and laughing to myself. Haley, do you have anything to recommend?
Oh man, it has been, you would think that I'd be getting through that list and the Criterion Collection and the immediate reversion to the, you know, comfort foods, so to speak. I think I watched the Lord of the Rings trilogy the day of the shutdown. I was like, all right, don't burn through these too quickly. You're going to need every single hour this year. But I have watched a show called 000 on Amazon, which is about the international drug trade, an amazing globetrotting show in all sorts of languages. I highly recommend that. I rewatched Withnell and I recently. That felt kind of appropriate for the time. An oddly comforting film. So that's what's in the DVD changer recently.
Yeah, that movie's really funny, but also just for a comedy, it's got a lot of like jump scares in it.
Yeah,
like that are actually effective, you know, like it's,
yeah.
And Richard E. Grant, like he's just that movie sort of introduced him, even though I guess he'd probably been in some things before that, but he's been great ever since.
I was so angry when he had his Oscar campaign for Can You Ever Forgive Me? The Withnell was nowhere to be found on any streaming service. And I was like, this is such a terrible missed opportunity for a new generation of fans when they make it so hard to find. You got to do it on YouTube or something. So I thought that was sad.
Yeah, it's like you get kind of used to the idea that, you know, if you want to see a movie, it's probably somewhere that you can check it out. But then when you hit those dead ends where it's not playing anywhere, like I want to see the movie about they made a movie called The Life of Riley, which was Charles Nelson Riley's one man show that he was doing in the, you know, years before he passed. And when he first started doing that show, that's when he officially came out, even though everybody, you know, pretty much just lived with the idea that, oh, that guy was probably gay. But it just sounds fascinating to me, but it's not available anywhere. So if anybody listening has a copy, hit me up. What about you, Mark? Do you have any?
Well, you know, I've been working on writing my next film. And so I try not to watch anything good during that time. So
smart.
I've been watching a lot of Food Network is my go-to. I do Chopped relentlessly, and you know, and then Diners, Drive-Ins and Dives comes on, and that's always entertaining. But Chopped right now is pretty great. I caught up with it last night because they're getting ready to battle Bobby Flay. So it's kind of just everything in the Food Network realm is just crossing over. And so, yeah, it's down to like, I think the finalists in Chopped, whoever's going to kind of go on to go against Bobby Flay in Chopped.
So yeah, Chopped is crazy because it's only, each episode's only like half an hour long. So you get a quick resolution, lots of mini cliffhangers throughout. And then when that show's over, then suddenly the knives are out and chopping again, and like another one comes on immediately, and it's really, it's hard to walk away.
Mm-hmm. Yep, 100%.
My new thing that I've been binging, because I found a channel called Dogs on Pluto TV, and they rerun at least a few a day of this show that I really like called Lucky Dog. And the premise of the show is it's just a guy who each episode, he just gets a dog out of his shelter, teaches it, you know, trains it, makes it a good, you know, a good dog for somebody. And then the end of the episode is, you know, the dog getting its new home.
You cry every episode?
Every single time I cry. It's crazy.
I would cry every time.
Man. I'm crying right now. It's beautiful.
Yeah. It's all, you know, it's often somebody that's disabled in some way. So the animal, the guy trains the animal to do exactly what that person needs from a dog. It's so good.
That's great.
That's great.
And of course, Love on the Spectrum, if you haven't seen that yet.
Is it good?
It is so good. It's so, it's just, you know, I mean, we're, in show business, we're surrounded with people that are on the spectrum, you know, and it's like, so it's not.
It's I not said that like, too fast.
It's they just, you know, they're just socially awkward, you know, that's it. So like these lovely people that just are having a hard time meeting anybody because, you know, the first thing they're going to say is probably off-putting. But if you wait and hear the second and third thing they have to say, they're lovely, you know? So it's a pretty entertaining show. I wish they'd make more of them because I ripped through all the episodes and now there isn't any more to watch. But that's really interesting, Mark, that you can't watch cool, you know, you can't watch good movies and stuff while you're trying to write. Cause you just don't need any of those, outside influences.
Yeah. I don't like it. It fucks me up, you know? And then whenever you get into a state of comparison, you're fucked, you know? Cause then you start trying to make something for somebody or in a particular way. And yeah, I just get away from what I really want to be doing, which is investigating my own stuff, you know? So yeah, I try to stay away from it as much as I can, really.
You think you know what's making that noise?
I can't figure it out.
It's definitely Mark.
Oh, really?
I think so, because I hear it and I can see Ricky and Haley and they're not moving when the noise happens. It's just like you're brushing up against the mat right there.
What, is it better? Okay, I moved.
It sounds kind of like you're tossing poker chips from one hand to another.
Really? Sorry. I'm gonna put the poker chips down now.
Oh my God, is Casino Morongo right now?
Apparently I know the listeners start to get like a little crazy, like why does that noise keep happening? So I figured I'd take a shot. My buddy Jeff Tate, he like strokes his beard a lot and he wears the earbuds. And when he strokes his beard, it makes that piece that you're talking to make a very similar noise to what Mark was just doing. So
I have ear. But not buds. I have headphones in and I have a big beard right now. So I wonder if that's what you're doing.
Oh my God.
Yeah. I'm leaning over in a really interesting position now. So that doesn't happen again.
Welcome to Doug Benson, audio detective. Today on the show, I'm striking out against people with beards. Let's go to a little commercial break and then we'll come back and play a game. Is that cool?
Yeah.
All right, we will be right back.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/Wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/Wondery.
This episode is brought to you by Philo. Do you love TV? Do you love saving money? Then Philo is your solution. Philo has shows, movies, and live TV for just $25 a month. You can even try it for free with their 7-day free trial. No contracts, no commitments, no hassles. Just a better way to watch TV. Never miss a minute of shows like the hit docuseries Where is Wendy Williams? Or classics such as Friends. If you can't get enough TV, then there's no better way to watch. Philo has more than 70 channels like BET, MTV, and AMC. And the best part? You can try it yourself with their 7-day free trial. Sign up today at philo.tv/poppods. That's philo.tv/poppods to get 50% off your first month.
We're back. See, that wasn't so bad. It was over before you knew it. I've been playing a game on the show lately that is a lot of fun because anyone can win, you know, because it's just such a weird, the results in this game are so strange. It's called, I call it Weird Algorithm, and it's based on the Internet Movie Database, IMDb, their algorithm that they have to determine popularity of people. There's this crazy thing, I shouldn't be telling this to, you know, actors and filmmakers, but if you click on the cast list on IMDb, you can now refine that list so that it reorders everybody, the entire cast, it reorders them all in terms of their current popularity.
Wow.
Oh, dark.
According to, according to IMDb. So that's why I call it Weird Algorithm, because it's very unpredictable. The only thing that is that you can plan on is that there's going to be some weird choice that's been made, especially considering a lot of movies have someone who played a very small part in that particular film, but then have blown up in some other way. So they launched to the top of the list when they weren't even in the movie very much. Like, for example, the movie Scream, Drew Barrymore is number one because, you know, she has this new TV show, but she's only in the first scene of the movie because, as we all know, she gets, you know, murdered in that scene. And yet she's considered the number one person in the cast, according to IMDb. So each of you is going to get a chance to go first, but also you can share answers. You can all agree on an answer, kind of like on Press Your Luck. And you can just discuss your thoughts about it.
Press
and then
Your Luck?
You know the show Press Your Luck? It's back on ABC
now. I have a vague memory of it, but I don't, is it the
Elizabeth
one with
like
Banks, no
whammy? Elizabeth Banks is the host now, and she'll say a multiple part question, and then each of the contestants guesses what they think is the right answer, but they can all say the same answer if they want to. So that's all I'm saying is that you can copy off of your neighbor. And when I tell you the name of the movie, if you name the person who's the top billed person, you get 3 points, second billed 2 points, and third billed 1 point. Anything below that is not worth any points. Play three rounds. You're first, Ricky.
Wait, so do we name just one person or do we name all three?
Just name one actor, but you can, you know, you can discuss out loud your
my thoughts
on this.
Okay. Yeah.
And the film that we're going to talk about first is the sequel to Scream, Scream 2. So a lot of the same actors, some different ones were slid in there.
Well, I haven't seen Scream 2, but I feel like Courtney Cox is in it maybe, or is she in the third one?
Yeah,
She's in Friends, so I'm gonna say Courtney Cox because everyone's rewatching Friends right now.
It really is big.
Mm-hmm.
It's wild.
I'm gonna go with that.
Okay. Haley?
I gotta concur. I think the only other name I could guess for that movie would be Neve Campbell. And I think that Courtney Cox probably has the edge for the reason Ricky discussed. I'm gonna have to go. Yeah, I'm gonna go with Courtney Cox.
What do you think, Mark?
Courtney Cox.
Now, somebody has to be bold and disagree at some point, but this is a good start because everybody gets to learn a very quick lesson on how stupid this game is, because Courtney Cox, who is the star of not only Scream 1 and 2 and 3 and 4, but she's coming back for Scream 5. And she is ranked fifth.
What?
According to IMDb for Scream 2.
What?
Yeah. Number four is Heather Graham. Number three is Sarah Michelle Gellar. Two is Neve Campbell. The lead character in the film came in at number two. And number one, I don't even remember him in this because I didn't even think I don't think I really knew who he was yet. Timothy Oliphant.
Wow.
Whoa.
Wow. Okay.
Right?
Well, we were all way off.
Yeah. What's he? He's in something now, isn't he? Is he on the new Fargo?
He's always in something.
Yes, I think he is in that.
I think he's in New Fargo, and yeah, so people are searching him, but he's a I love that guy. Justified's one of my favorite shows. I really liked him on that a lot.
Yeah.
So there you go. That's how weird this algorithm is. So don't feel bad.
I don't.
I take some wild swings at just like us guessing that maybe Bryan Cranston was in it. We just didn't know who he was yet.
Yeah, did Kevin Hart have one line or something?
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly what happens in this game. And in sixth place for Scream 2 is Matthew Lillard, whose character died in Scream 1. But apparently he's just an extra at a party in Scream 2, like as an inside joke.
Oh.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Or maybe Matthew Lillard just wouldn't leave. You know, he's like killed in the first movie. And he shows up on the second one. Hey, I don't see my name on the call sheet, guys.
Guys? I love
it. And I don't see any Scooby snacks over in over at Crafty.
He was shadowing Wes Craven or whoever it was, like when all those guys stayed on for Thin Red Line at Guadalcanal or something. They just wanted to be there.
Yeah, and like I guess Ryan Philippe like sat right next to Altman during the entire filming of Gosford Park and just learned all of his tricks. So look for that Ryan Philippe movie where everybody talks at the same time. All right, here's the second round. Start with Haley. Scary Movie 2.
Oh man, who was in those?
Well, there was a scary movie with the Wayans brothers, and it was Anna Faris's breakout role.
That's right.
And then they made Scary Movie 2, and so they added some characters, and
maybe Kevin Hart has one line in that.
I'm feeling somebody like that. Yeah.
Yeah, somebody like
Isn't Tori Spelling in those?
Feels like she should be, right?
There's probably like a cameo from like Mike Tyson and like somebody like that. There's probably those sort of cameos like in it. Like just any pop culture figure they could get.
Yeah, it's definitely got a weird mix of people. And I also, well, I'll say this after we're done here. So I was hoping somebody would know anybody from this movie. So what's your guess, Haley?
I'm going to guess Damon Wayans. if he's in the sequel.
I like it. What do you think, Mark?
Well, I mean, is Anna Faris in the sequel?
In all of them, right?
I think she's in all of them, yeah.
Well, I'm going to go Anna Faris then.
Why not?
Yeah.
I'm going to go Kevin Hart. Literally no reason. I've never seen this movie, but I'm going to guess he had one line in it.
It's, you know, it's such a distinct possibility. It's not yeah. that it isn't the case here, but congratulations on having an amazing, an amazing guess.
I took a big swing.
Yeah. But this is what I almost said. I didn't want to give too much away, but damn, IMDb so white. Both of the Wayans are in this movie. They created the first movie. And somehow Marlon Wayans is number 9 on the cast list. And Sean's even further down the list. Number 8 is David Cross. I'm just giving you the highlights because 5 is James Woods, I guess, is in that movie.
Oh,
and his name probably gets searched a lot these days. And then Natasha Lyonne came in at number 4.
Oh.
But then at number 3 and putting Mark Webber on the board with 1 point. It's Anna Faris.
Yay!
Oh!
You're running away with this thing, Mark. And then number two is Tim Curry is in there. And nice to see people are still interested in Tim Curry because he's awesome. And number one, this makes me so happy. Number one is Chris Elliott.
Whoa, Chris Elliott.
And it must be just a Schitt's Creek thing, right?
Yeah.
Because everybody's binging the shit out of Schitt's Creek.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You mean it's not because of Snow Day? Snowplow Man?
Yeah, that's a good one too. That's probably true.
Oh, wow. Great.
That dude, though, he's a treasure. And, you know, Ricky worked with his daughter.
Yes, I did. Abby Elliott.
One of them.
Size. Yeah.
And Bridie. Have you met Bridie?
I've met her. I've never worked with her, though.
She's great, too.
Yeah.
The whole Elliott clan is awesome.
Talented family.
Yeah, film great. That she wrote and directed and actually shot in their childhood home with her parents as a cast as themselves in the movie.
So wow.
It's a movie called Clara's Ghost. She did a really awesome job with it. I'm the only non-Elliott character in the movie.
Wow.
Cool.
All right, well, I'm writing that one down next to your recommendations.
Plugged some more stuff. Yes.
Clara's what? Clara's heart?
Clara's ghost.
Oh, ghost. Because there was Clara's Heart, I think, is a Whoopi Goldberg movie. I think. Somebody's Heart. Co-starring a young Neil Patrick Harris.
Huh.
Yeah. One more round. Mark is in the lead.
Here we go.
With a whopping 1 point.
1 point to 0-0.
You're
killing. The beard is taking this thing.
I'm terrified of that thing coming back, though, and scratching. You should see the position I'm in right now.
I'm sorry to put you in that position.
No, it's okay. Give me the next one here, Doug. Let's go. I'm getting nervous.
All right. This is a classic from the 70s with an amazing cast
of
interesting people.
Oh, God.
And it's the motion picture called Carrie.
Oh, wow. Okay, well.
Which I think they should have called that Carrie movie.
Well, I mean, I want to say Sissy Spacek, but.
Of course. She's, you know.
Wait, wasn't John Travolta in that movie?
That's the one.
Yeah, it's got to be John Travolta, I think. Who else is in that?
Really?
There's lots of people in it.
I can only think of those two. There's other famous people in it?
Well, yeah. Hmm. The woman who played her mother, Piper Laurie, they both got nominated for Oscars for Best Actress and Best Supporting Actress.
Yeah, but if John Travolta's in it, then it's got to be it's John Travolta.
I mean, I like that attitude.
I agree. I'm very pro John Travolta.
The man is awesome in so many movies. Have you all seen In a Valley of Violence?
Mm-mm.
No.
He's super funny in that. It's Ethan Hawke and his dog go to a very small Western town where they meet Karen Gillan and Farmiga.
Yeah.
And stuff happens and John Travolta's the sheriff and he's really funny in it.
Nice.
I want to see that.
Yeah,
it's. Well, I'm glad you said it, Ricky. I think it's good. It's John Travolta. Then it's got to be.
I agree.
Yeah, you guys are all pretty pretty pro Travolta.
I'm gonna concur.
But yeah, it had. It is an interesting.
Well, basically, no matter what happens now, Mark wins because we all have the same answer.
Well, you're all saying John Travolta. Yeah. See, nobody's taking a chance.
I wonder if there's another. I feel
name.
Like I should. I can't
is Kevin Hart in it?
Kevin Hart's like, is that pig's blood?
I'm like thinking through the movie. I can't think of any other people in it. I feel like I want to shake it up because I'm just automatic loss if I don't. But
well, the greatest American hero, William Catt, is the kid who took her to the prom.
Mm-hmm.
And Nancy Allen from the RoboCop movies. is the, you know, bitchiest of all the, all of Carrie's tormentors.
Well, maybe I'll go with Sissy Spacek just because of the, yeah.
Just, wait.
I gotta try to win this thing. Yeah, I still think it's John Travolta, but, you know, it's automatic loss if I guess that. So I might as well roll the dice.
All right, lock it in for Sissy Spacek. Haley's locked in for Johnny Travs.
I want to do like a jar of jelly beans, though, like 99 like the, John Travolta's.
You're like the guy on Jeopardy. It's like, I'll take second place because at least you get $1,000 more than third place.
Exactly.
And Mark, is you're sticking with John Travolta?
Oh, 100%. Locked in.
All right. Let's do this the most suspenseful way possible. Nancy Allen is 9. William Catt is 8. Sidney Lassick, who played the, I guess he's probably the principal or a teacher who gets violently murdered at the end. He's number 7. Amy Irving, formerly Mrs. Steven Spielberg, mother to some of his children. I didn't write down number 5. What's wrong with me? 4 is Sissy Spacek.
Damn
is right.
Lost.
And then number 3 is Piper Laurie, who played her mother. 2, the great PJ Souls, who many of you would remember as Jamie Lee Curtis's friend in Halloween, who gets the shit murdered out of her. I don't know why she's number 2 now. She also starred in Rock and Roll High School, which is another classic if you like that sort of thing. And then number 1, John Travolta. Nailed it, Mark. I'm so impressed that you were just so confident that he would be number 1 for sure, but he probably is number 1 in any movie that he's in. Congratulations, Mark. There's no prizes or anything. Did he leave?
Oh, no. The germ warfare got the best of him.
He likes to win and dash. Let's do plugs, starting with Ricky then. What have you got coming up?
Watch the Wolf of Snow Hollow. Wolf? Oh, hello? Is that Mark?
Yeah. Oh, what? God, my thing died. Sorry.
Well, you won the game.
I did.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, we were congratulating you, and you were just like quiet.
No, I was screaming. I never win winner. Anything.
Yeah. You're to us, you were just having a contemplative win. You were just chilling there, not touching your beard. But yeah, you took it down with the confidence of John Travolta. So, congratulations on that. There's no prizes really. The guests used to play for people in the audience. And so that was fun to win some prizes for them. But, you know, I mean, if you have any requests, is there anything I should give you for winning today?
No. I think I'm just bragging rights, and I feel really proud. And, you know, I want to thank you, Ricky, because I would have not thought of John Travolta.
This is a great accepted speech.
Thank you.
I was going to, if there was a tie, I was just going to give it to Ricky because she plays a cop in Wolf of Snow Hollow. And
a brunette cop.
I don't mess with cops.
Can you believe it?
I don't mess with cops. I love the scene where the guy's putting up the sign and you don't like what it says. And you ask him if he could take it down, and he's like giving you a hard time. And then you like go, is that your car over there with the expired plates? And he's like, whatever you want, officer.
I think the guy who did that role was the editor of the movie.
Oh, that's funny.
Yeah.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
He did a great job. He was also editing that sign.
Yeah.
Per your instructions.
Yes.
So let's recap all your plugs of these movies, because... shit, I don't want to say it wrong. What's the title of your movie, Mark?
The Wolf of Snow Hollow. Oh, I thought you were asking me. Sorry, go ahead, Mark.
The Place of No Words. And you can pre-order it right now on iTunes, but it comes out October 23rd. All the streamers, all the places you can stream, except for Netflix.
If you demand it, you'll be able to see it.
Yes.
The Place of No Words. I love it. Haley Joel Osment.
Yes, sir.
And The Devil Has a Name. Starts Friday on demand and digital.
Widely available. I think iTunes, Amazon, Vudu, all the big ones. So,
well, thank you so much for participating. And Ricky Lindholm.
Yes. Wolf of Snow Hollow out now. Scary. I'm going to watch it tonight. I can't wait. Oh, and Haley and I are in Babbo Supreme. We're in this Tim Robbins podcast that just came out this week, too.
What's it called again?
Babbo Supreme. Isn't that what it's called?
Yes.
Babbo. Yeah.
B O B B O. And it's on Spotify, the first episode, and then the rest of the episodes are available on Patreon. And since we're, let's give all three of the projects we're in simultaneously. Have a Good Trip on Netflix, Ricky and I also.
Yes! Stop working together.
What's Have a Good Trip? Duo.
I can't believe you haven't seen it. Doug, it's so up your alley. It's different people. It's kind of like Drunk History, but it's different people telling stories of trips they had. And Haley and I are in a reenactment, sort of like, or like an after school special kind of thing about tripping with Ron Funches and Maya Erskine and Armin Weitzman.
Yeah.
Oh, that sounds super fun. I may have heard about that or been, asked about it at some point. And like, I don't have any tripping stories.
That's
shocking. It's just not my experience. I've just been weed and alcohol and that's pretty much it. I took mushrooms a few times, but I didn't really see shit.
Oh.
Yeah.
I got tripping stories.
Oh, yeah, I think that's probably where you discovered the place with no words.
Yeah.
Well, there's no words. Of. All right. Have a good trip of words. And that's about it, I guess. Oh, I've got a plug. This is exciting. We're doing stand-up comedy now on like rooftops and shit.
Yeah.
So I am going to be performing on top of the parking garage at the Irvine Spectrum, where the improv is in Irvine, California. Home offices of Taco Bell are there. So it's a great, great city. And I'll be there on Saturday, October 17th. And Kurt Braunohler, Sarah Tiana, Greg Fitzsimmons, and Donnell Rollins are the other performers on the show.
I want to see the show.
That is a fucking fun show with five comedians who can't just stay home during a pandemic. They gotta perform. Mm-hmm. And did I say the date? Saturday, October 17th.
Wow.
Thank you again to all of my guests, Ricky Lindholm, Haley Joel Osment, and Mark Weber. This has been a delight, and I hope John Travolta listens to it.
Hi, John.
He can really, really put a little bounce in his step to know how much everybody loves him. And and I close every episode with a line from the closing line from a movie. And so, as always, let me sleep. Hoo-ah!
Now it's time for Doug to watch another talkie. Eyes of Gold is viewing prowess makes him cocky. There's no room in